Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 11th, 2018. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
Going great. Good morning.
Good morning. So glad you're here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am good. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us in this post-WWDC week.
Yeah, it's had so much fun at WWDC, but it is also nice to be back in my office. And
sure.
Yeah, and it's great to have you here. It's also great, excuse me, that we have a sponsor today, and that's LinkedIn Jobs. So we'll talk about them soon, but I said mere seconds ago that it's June 11th. And that means that today is the day that the net neutrality protections that we had through the FCC in the United States end, because the new administration, and the new FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, really, really didn't want net neutrality rules in place. So you got the FCC to vote to shut that down, and today's the day it happens. I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
I think nothing exciting is going to happen today. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the carriers aren't going to throw on a switch and suddenly things go to worms.
No, I would be stunned if any ISP did that today.
In fact, I have a friend who works for CenturyLink, and I asked him about their CEO's feelings about it. And then CenturyLink, from this secondhand hearsay report, basically says, "Oh, I'm not going to do anything yet. I'm going to kind of just go with the flow and see what happens." Because this could all be reversed.
No, this will be it will be reversed, depending on how people vote in November. And if you care about this issue, you should support a candidate who supports net neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? So right. Not getting into political parties there, but you should, if you care about this issue, you should talk to your electoral representative or someone to replace that person. And this the egregious stuff will be led by the big boys, the Verizon, maybe AT&T, Comcast. The big boys and girls are the ones who are going to lead the way in screwing us in some way.
Yeah,
it was the big boys. It wasn't solely the big boys that were getting it, that were running afoul of net neutrality principles that had the previous FCC chairman imposed net neutrality as the essentially the law of the land. But it was certainly some of the big boys that were making the biggest waves that led to that action.
Mm-hmm.
And they will lead the way here because you know the regional players are not going to want to. The regional and local players are not going to want to be the ones that actually test these waters, just like CenturyLink, which is a regional player in the I don't know how big they are, but they're certainly in Colorado,
Minnesota, Washington, some other places too.
All right, so I have a theory on how this is going to play out. All of the ISPs are just going to sit and wait. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get through the November election. And if nothing changes, they'll say, see, look, we told you we didn't need to have those regulations. We all play fair with net neutrality anyhow. And then what they'll do, they'll wait a little bit longer. And then they'll say, hey, we have these really great packages that you're going to love, and they're going to save you money. And they'll and they'll start presenting their new way of giving us our content as a feature as opposed to hobbling our internet access.
Yeah, that is a likely scenario. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Verizon and Comcast in particular already have, you know, months ago had plans in place for how to use the net neutrality relaxation to you know, hobble a competitor or promote something of their own. But the Jeff's scenario is a likely first step.
Yeah, so I think everything will stay as it is until at least a year from now.
Well, I mean the elections are only in a few months,
right?
And there's going to be national elections 2 years after that too. So I don't really know if that's going to be a particular barrier. I think they're all going to be keen. The big boys in particular are going to be keen on increasing profits.
Yeah, and I think they just want to create enough of a window where they can establish themselves as the good guys before they start making their changes. So get through the election sometime next year. They slowly start introducing little things as features as opposed to net neutrality limitations.
Maybe. I don't think it'll necessarily take that long. It could take that long, but I don't necessarily think it'll take that long. But I do think that that's probably the way they'll start it out.
Yeah, and
the whole thing is it's offensive, and it drives me bananas because it is intellectually lazy and illogical and is not supported by facts, and that's what infuriates me the most about this.
Yeah, but all the big ISP, well, little ISPs as well, they're all reassuring us that they've never violated the spirit of net neutrality and that we're better off without the government telling us we need these protections. So, yeah.
Well, protections is kind of the issue. I try to cast my mind into a mindset that I can sort of understand the rationale. People who disagree with you aren't the enemy. They just have a different perspective.
And Ajit Pai is the enemy.
That guy
is the enemy. I mean,
the Russians are the enemy. Ajit Pai is just the opponent.
He's the yeah. Fair enough.
So if you have an overriding general philosophy that regulation, safety measures, restrictions, clampdowns, protections, provisions, and so on are getting in the way of business.
Free market trumps all.
But if you have this general philosophy that you want to get rid of anything that interferes with business prospering, then you have a different view towards net neutrality. And I think it's important to understand that mindset as opposed to ascribing stupidity to the opponent, as opposed to just having a different business orientation and different political perspective.
No, but the problem, John, I get that, and I so wish that was just the case here. I wish this was just political philosophy, but the problem is this political philosophy relies on a falsehood that there is competition. There is no competition throughout huge portions of this country for any kind of reasonable broadband.
Well, I don't know.
And that's why I call it sloppy, and that's why I call it intellectually lazy.
Well,
there's no competition.
Well, the other factor is that the internet was designed to work in a certain way, and if you start jury-rigging the system, you're going to end up breaking it in ways that aren't good for the way the internet has traditionally worked. The question is, in my mind, is nibbling away at net neutrality for business success going to damage in what quantitative way that we can describe both the function of the internet and the customer experience? That's the real question you don't see addressed too much, because it's hard to predict. And as Jeff said, it's going to come in by bits and pieces. And as it comes in by bits and pieces, it's not going to break in a massive scale. So it'll be really hard to see a breaking point.
I'll tell you the breaking point for the average consumer. Netflix. As soon as we start seeing the sort of things that we saw before, I personally experienced, where our video streams are getting degraded so that they're essentially unwatchable, or they're dropping out, and it's because your ISP is throttling the access to that content, that's when people flip out. So Netflix is the breaking point there.
Probably, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's just so uplifting.
So back to John's defense of the humanity of these numbnuts. When you look at this newer story, I think John, you were the one who pointed it out that the FCC was deliberately lying in order to obfuscate the massive support for net neutrality that was pouring into the FCC. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about intellectual laziness, and when you have to lie to make your point sucks. And these forces, Ajit Pai and his allies, have to lie. They have to lie to us when they tell us that there's competition. And they have to lie to themselves to make that argument. And then it turns out they actually had to lie to us about the nature of the support that was coming in from the people of this country for net neutrality. And I cannot abide that. If it was just political flight, if it was just the inherent belief in a free market, and there was anything to back that up, I would not be as irate, I would not be as aggressive as I am with my condemnation of this particular side. But
well, the other way to look at it, Brian, is that when John Oliver talked about net neutrality and got a million people fired up, you could view that as a comedian getting people emotionally involved when you're trying to run a business. And the perspective is that these citizens were manipulated and encouraged. What? I mean, out of those million people, how many of them had thought deeply about net neutrality and its implications? Maybe 100,000?
Are you really making this argument?
Well, what I'm saying is
this happening right now?
Yeah, I'm saying that the weight. I always try to think about the opponent from their perspective and what their viewpoint is, and the viewpoint might well be that we are, you know, working closely with businesses on serious grown-up stuff, and this comedian gets a whole bunch of people excited, and it doesn't have the weight of tradition of big business and politics.
Okay, when you're in government, you don't get to decide those things.
I know.
That's
the FCC
not,
is. I know the FCC
making
is
making it intellectually
of,
lazy. You're bolstering my point.
I know. This FCC is the servant of the people.
I mean, it's one thing if a business is going to have an argument. If a business is going to say, "Well, who cares about all these comments? These people were all fired up by a comedian, et cetera." Listen to John Martellaro. That's one thing, but the FCC doesn't get to make that decision. The FCC doesn't get to decide which side of the public has weight. They're supposed to listen to the public.
No, I agree with you. Now, be careful here. I'm not supporting the FCC's decision. I'm saying I try to think of ways to understand how they think, which is different.
All right, Brian, I'm going to give you a second to think about how you're going to respond to John on that. And actually, you have a few seconds because I want to talk about LinkedIn jobs real quick. And LinkedIn jobs, so if you've ever been trying to find the new employees that you need, and you're not sure where to go to find the people with the qualifications that you really want, well, LinkedIn Jobs is a really good place to start looking, because right now, about 70% of the United States workforce is already using LinkedIn, and there's a lot of people on LinkedIn that are out hunting for jobs. And it turns out that a lot of the people that are job hunting through LinkedIn are people that have really high quality skills, and it makes it a lot easier to find the right match for the job you need to fill if you can see the people already have the qualifications you're looking for. So if you're in the market right now to find new employees, you need to check out LinkedIn Jobs, because the people you're looking for are probably already there. And what LinkedIn is doing to make this even more enticing for prospective employers is by making a special deal just for you, for listening to Daily Observations. So here's what you can do. Go to linkedin.com/TDO, and you're going to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO for your $50 credit today. And terms and conditions do apply, so keep that in mind. And go check it out. If you need to hire someone new, LinkedIn probably has the person you're looking for. So thank you, LinkedIn, for being our sponsor. All right. So, Brian, I have a feeling you probably had some sort of response you wanted to give to John.
Sure. John, I massively respect trying to see the other side. I spend a good portion of my own intellectual efforts to do that, to understand how someone else is thinking, especially someone that I disagree with. And again, having done just that in this particular debate, I will iterate that I get cranky about this because the facts do not support the other side's arguments, and that's why I get cranky.
Oh, yeah, it has to do with cognitive bias. Whenever you want something bad enough, you ignore the risks. Danny Kahneman. So if you think that the values of business success are more important than technical risk, and you don't have any tradition of respecting technical consultants, then you're going to just automatically dismiss things that seem to get in your way. It has to do with how your technical brain works and your technical experience. So the right way to do it, I don't know if it's been done or not, but the right way to do it is to get together a W3C committee and say, what would be the technical impact? Has that research been done? I don't know. I haven't seen it. What would be the technical impact of a massive disruption of net neutrality? How would it impact the operation of the internet, the flow of services? What would be the impact on citizens?
That would be a really interesting study.
Then you might have a report, and then you might even then decide that the PhDs and internet graybeards that you hired to be on this committee were biased in favor of the way things are with the internet, and so they're trying to manipulate you from going about your business. So it's a difficult situation.
So my favorite pro-ending net neutrality guy is Nick Gillespie, editor-at-large for Reason Magazine. He was on that Intelligence Squared debate. Did you guys watch that video?
Mm-mm.
We linked to it probably about 2 months ago. Intelligence Squared did a debate on net neutrality. And Nick Gillespie, his argument, one of his arguments was that the problem with saying that there's no competition in broadband is that they're defining broadband as starting at 25 megabits down. And he said 10 megabits is just fine. So really, that's all you need is 10 megabits. So when we look at, like, you know, where there's competition for 10 megabits, there's a lot more competition. So therefore, competition is, in fact, the answer here. I mean, 10 megabits is not broadband. And when you have to twist reality like that to make your point sucks.
Well, you know, we kind of have redefined broadband along the way. There was a time when we had a mix of dial-up modems and acoustic modems, and then we had broadband, which was what we have today. And the broadband that we have today started out at, you know, about 256 kilobits or a megabit per second. And along the way, the definition of broadband has been revised over and over again. So I would think that what we really need to do is define a minimum level to support existing technologies.
The like FCC 4K. Has done that.
Yeah, and it's 25.
And it was 25 megabits. And the FCC's own data says that 50% of the country has no competition at that level. And so, but Nick Gillespie said, well, ignore all that because 10 megabits is all you need.
Well, 25 megabits per second happens
cake. This happens is the digital to be version of let them eat cake.
25 happens to be the level that's suggested for 4K transmission, by the way. So that's probably where that number came from.
I think that number was established before 4K was really a thing, but I could be wrong on that.
I think you're right, Brian.
Again, if you want to argue against net neutrality, use facts and real things to make your argument. And if you can't do that, then your argument sucks.
So we are out of time, but I'm going to toss out my theory on why the FCC and ISPs are arguing the way they are. And it's because they feel that's more palatable than the argument that makes sense for them, which is that without net neutrality in place, they have mechanisms where they can make our internet access far more profitable for themselves. Therefore, that's what they want to do. And they've just been trying to couch it in this other way, and it's not working that well for most people. Most people are not buying it.
I think you're right. I agree with that.
And sadly, Ajit Pai is on board with the ISPs, and he's happy to champion their argument. And so now here we are.
Yeah, but the real question is, what will break? What will harm the internet? How will life be life as we know it in 5 or 10 years?
Well,
you know.
Okay.
Hardly ever changed that dramatically.
So we're over time, but I'm going to answer that before I wrap us up. The first place we'll see the break where people freak out, like I said earlier, is Netflix. Then the next place we'll see it is when we have some sort of internet outage. And because we don't have net neutrality in place anymore, the various companies that can handle rerouting traffic so that it self-heals, that's not going to happen. And we're going to end up with these massive area internet outages where it's just out for a while. And that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
Because that'll affect more than consumers.
So we have a third world internet.
So we'll have a third world internet.
An internet for 2 hours a day.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I guess that means all the work that Apple put into iOS 12 for all of the activity management, we won't need, because you won't be able to use your online services for more than 2 hours a day.
That's right.
Well, that's a happy, exciting future. Thanks, John.
You're very welcome.
All right. We really are out of time, so I'm wrapping us up. John, thank you for being here today.
It was nice to be here.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Smile, everyone. Smile.
Oh, man. Yeah. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, LinkedIn.com/TDO, and get a $50 credit towards your first job post, and find that employee that you're really looking for. That's LinkedIn.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.